coming up on this bonus episode of the podcast Under the Stairs is updates, announcements, and we launch July's Challenge Teapots 2017. But before we get into that, ladies and gentlemen, it's year four, motherfuckers, and you know what that means? This time, it's war.
Warning, the podcast Under the Stairs is not safe for work. We'll feature movie spoilers and language which most listeners may find offensive. Brought to you in conjunction with Legion Podcast Network. Welcome to the podcast Under the Stairs.
Hi everyone and welcome to the podcast Under the Stairs. This is a very special bonus episode. I'm your host Duncan McLeish and welcome to the show. On this bonus episode we will be doing a bit of a catch up, some announcements. We'll be setting the ball rolling on the Summer Teapots Top 10 Extravaganza, but also we will be bringing you Challenge Teapots for July 2017. Now, this Challenge Teapots is a review of only one movie this time, and we're all reviewing the same movie. So we're going to try something a little bit different, and that's going to come up after our first break. But before we get into all of that, let's do some updates. So can I just first, at the start of this episode, thank everyone for the ridiculous number of downloads that we received during the final installment of Baz v Leatherface. You guys got on board with it right at the very end, and I hope, I know I speak for myself and the Baz, that I hope you enjoyed that series as much as we did recording them. We had a ton of fun going through the Texas Chainsaw Massacre franchise, and we're now in a position where Baz has seen all the movies of all the big four, which is pretty insane. But yeah, he's at the moment relaxing a little bit and gearing himself up for his next challenge, which will be Baz v The Masters of Horror Volume 1, where he will be facing off against Takashi Miike and his movies of Audition and One Missed Call. So I just wanted to thank everyone at the start of this episode for making that just effortlessly easy for us to put out, and the enjoyment levels being off the roof, seeing you guys interact. Darren, as always, putting out the memes, Myron tweeting, quoting the show, and just people using Baz phrases in the Teapots Facebook group page has been pretty awesome to see. Now, like I also said, we are on the precipice of 11 weeks of podcast Under the Stairs top 10 shows. Now, if you've been living under a rock, or this is your first time listening to the podcast Under the Stairs, or you're a casual listener who dips in and dips out but hasn't been checking out what we've been putting out recently, you may not know, one, what the announcement was, two, what we are aiming to do with this year's top 10, or three, what actually the top 10 series is. So for the last couple of years, in fact since its inception many moons ago, the podcast Under the Stairs does an annual top 10 run of shows. Now, in the past, in year one, we did the top 10 British horror movies as selected by myself and my then co-host Graham Humphreys, who, by the way, we should all throw our congratulations out to, because he got married last week to his lovely wife in Canada, and we're all over the moon and wish them all the best in the future. I think that's the culmination of a pretty fantastic journey which started here, I want to think, on the podcast Under the Stairs, with him talking about maybe moving to Canada, to ultimately moving to Canada, to meeting the love of his life and now getting married. It's incredible, and I couldn't be happier for the two of them. But anyway, let's bring it back to horror podcasting. On that first year, top 10 horror movies from Britain. The second year, we did a very special top 10 best and worst horror remakes, where we coupled up the top 10 horror remakes with the top 10 worst horror remakes side by side. So it was the 10th best and the 10th worst, 9th best, 9th worst, all the way down to the best and the worst on the same show. And I had some fantastic guests joining me there. The following year, we did the top 10 Vincent Price versus Christopher Lee movies. I created a list got some guests in and we discussed them right down to see who was victorious. Was it Christopher Lee or was it Vincent Price? And you need to go back and listen to them if you want to know what the answer is. Last year, I brought you the top 10 Stephen King adaptions. So that was taking the text of Stephen King and adapting it into movie or TV movie form. It was fantastic. A ton of fun was had there. But I realised at the end of that one that ultimately I was always going to be confined to lists where I kind of knew what the answers were going to be. And even though this year's top 10, I kind of know what the answer is going to be, I have made it as difficult as possible to get to the end. So this year we're looking at an entire decade, the 1970s, which most people would argue is the best decade of horror of all time. It's hard to put up an argument to that. I know a lot of people opt for the 80s, but when you see the sheer number of movies that transcend that decade and are still very much at the forefront of our horror lexicon in 2017, it's difficult to argue with the stats and the numbers. So what I decided to do was do a top 10 movies from the 1970s, and that threw up some problems. The big problem being that there is likely to be one or two years in there that will have maybe two or three movies that would make that list. So it's not really necessarily fair to every single year. So how do I make sure that I change the paradigm in such a way that we get movies from every single decade into that final consideration? And then it struck me in a drunken stupor that what I should do is I should create a set of rules to force myself and my guests to put movies through from every single year. And that's what we're going to do on this one. I have dubbed it Noah's Ark Rules. Now, it's Noah's Ark Rules because Noah put the animals on the ark 2x2, and the movies will leave the years of discussion 2x2. So it's fairly tenuous. It throws up a lot of problems, and it's a huge undertaking of work for myself. But I'm confident that what this series will do is give a great option for everyone out there to interact, put forward their suggestions, question why things have been done certain ways, but specifically on the shows, myself and my guests to bring forward a list of 5 movies each, where my guest has brought a movie I would have picked, I will pick another movie, so 10 movies every episode, which will be discussed, and then whittled down to 2 movies at the end. And the chance of myself and my guest agreeing on those 2 movies and some of those years in that decade are going to be slim to none, which means we will have to debate and argue out to put 2 forward. Now, the lists of movies before each episode on the run-up will be released on the Facebook group page, facebook.com/groups/tputzcast. But if you don't follow us there, we'll also be putting out a blog post on the website tputzcast.com/blog. If you go over there, you'll be able to see what we are posting week in, week out, with a list for you to work down. At the end of it all, myself and my 5 guests, each guest will get 2 years in that decade, will be left with a list of 20 movies. I will pass that list round my guest hosts, and they will score that list of 20 movies, their favourite movie being given 20 points, second favourite 19, etc, etc. Least favourite gets 1 point. I will bring all those lists together and then I will create an ultimate definitive list of the top 10 movies scored by my guests and myself on the show, which will be done in a final episode number 11 round table, where we will discuss it all down, see where we had our movies, have a discussion about the decade in general, where people didn't get a chance to talk about certain movies. We'll bring them to the forefront. It's going to be a big soapy hand job to the decade known as the 70s. But I'm not finished there yet. I want to be finished there yet, but my work ethos compels me to do more work than I necessarily should have to, but all for the betterment of the show and the entertainment and enjoyment of yourselves. So what we're going to do is that list of movies will be circulated the week before we do the round table. It will go out to you guys. You will have the option as listeners to put them in order yourself. So number 1 getting 20 points, number 2 19, etc, down to your least favourite, which will get 1 point. I will have a closing date for all of them and bring that whole list in together. I will then do a definitive top 10 list as scored by the listeners. And then I will bring that list in with the list from the hosts and create the definitive podcast Under the Stairs group top 10 using Noah's Ark rules created by the podcast Under the Stairs. Movies from the 1970s. in the horror category. It's going to be fucking insane, ladies and gents. Trust me when I say nothing will prepare you for what we're going to do. Now, I was noted in a recent Thursday that I let the ball drop a little bit as pertains to the Challenge Teapot segment. We do one every single month where you guys, the listeners, get to watch movies, review, interact, send emails, send in some vocal recordings, send in videos, and we create a show going through your responses. And you are right, I have left it a bit late, but I've adapted things slightly to make things work in a better sort of environment for everyone. So this is going to be the very first time on the Challenge Teapot segment, and it won't be the last time because I quite like this idea, that we're all going to review the same movie. We're going to do a little movie club, ladies and gents, the Teapots Movie Club as part of Challenge Teapots. So what does that actually mean? Well, what you're going to hear coming up after the break is you're going to hear me do the introduction and announcement of what that film is and give you some details. At that point, I suggest that people stop the podcast and then they go and watch the movie. And then they come back and listen to the last part of the podcast, which is me talking about the movie at the end. And then I want you to submit your reviewing. So you're going to hear me introduce the movie. You're going to watch the movie. You're then going to hear me do an outro conclusion to what I feel about the movie and my score of the movie. And then you are going to go away over a couple of paragraphs or an audio recording or a video if it's easier for yourselves. You're going to review the movie that I have selected and then you're going to submit them in. Submissions need to be in absolutely 100%, no later, ladies and gents, so get this one circled in the diary, no later than Tuesday. In fact, we'll go with Wednesday the 26th of July, and a bonus episode will go out on Thursday the 27th. So they need to be in on Tuesday the 26th, and the episode will go out on Thursday the 27th. So the announcement of that movie, and oh so much more, ladies and gents, is coming up after this first break. So you're going to hear promos for shows that I love. You're going to hear the trailer for that movie, although you're not understanding it because it's foreign. And then when we come back, we'll be discussing this Challenge Teapots, July 2017. All that and more right after this.
This is a distress call from across time and space. I am Babs, the automated biological support system for the humanoid known as the Witch. Witch vs. the Doomsday Clock is the weekly chronicle of his fight for survival and entertainment on the junk heap of the future. Episodes are transmitted in 15-minute pulses across the dimensional divide weekly for your listening pleasure. As you will learn, the future is not set in stone, and a flux capacitor is a girl's best friend. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, SoundCloud, TuneIn, and on your Android device. Come join the rest of the Meat Popsicles in our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/WitchVS The Doomsday Clock. The replicant known as Witch can be found on Twitter, Facebook, Tumblr and Instagram by searching for THEWYCH. The Witch vs. the Doomsday Clock is a proud member of the Legion Podcast Network. Now in the words of Lord Humongous,
just walk away, and there will be an end to the horror.
Terrifying vision of fear.
Oh.
films dares you to open your eyes, hold your breath, and prepare to go to extremes. Three extremes.
And welcome back. So this is Challenge Teapots July 2017 and the very first movie club. That's right, ladies and gents, movie club. So what we're going to do on these movie club ones, which will come every couple of months, because I like to keep you on your toes, is that I will pick the movie. We'll all watch the same movie. You're going to hear me give you a bit of blurb, a bit of dialogue, a bit of info at the start of this. You will then be told to stop and then go and watch the movie and then listen to, well, come back and hit play on the podcast where you left me off and listen to me do my outro and my ultimate grade of that movie. And then you will go away yourselves. You will write up, either do a written review, emailing to podcastunderthestairs@gmail.com. You'll post it on the Facebook page if you want everyone else to see it. You will send me an audio recording either privately over Facebook Messenger or once again podcastunderthestairs@gmail.com, or you can post a video on the Facebook group page if you want. I can take the audio from that to put that in the show. Now, like I said, those submissions need to be in no later than Wednesday the 26th of July for the show to go out on Thursday the 27th. So what movie did I pick? Did you manage to guess it? Did anyone manage to guess it from that introduction? That little trailer? He may have said some words in English, I am not entirely sure. But it is, of course, The Three Extremes from 2004. Yeah, that's right, ladies and gents, an anthology. An Asian anthology. Now, the reason I went down this road is that, for one, we have one of the shorts in here directed by Takashi Miike, and the Baz will be looking at Miike as part of his Baz v. The Masters of Horror. It's the first horror director we picked. So it made sense to do that. But two, I genuinely think this is actually one of the better horror anthologies of the 2000s and onwards. I think it's actually really fucking cool. And what makes it really cool is the involvement of the directors that were selected. Three absolutely incredible stalwart powerhouses of Asian cinema. The first one being Fruit Chan, the second being a little guy that you may know, I may have a little bit of mad love for, which is Park Chan-wook, and then finally Takashi Miike himself. So, let's give you some information on this movie, because Three Extremes was actually birthed out of an idea which came in 2002 called Three. It was a similar sort of premise, but what they wanted to do was give it a bit more clout. And to give it a bit more clout, they decided to bring in like some of the big names, some of the heavy hitters in the Asian alternative and horror genre filmmaking. So we have three shorts in this one with absolutely no link in story. Kind of enjoy the way that, you know, the Japanese and Asian cinema in general doesn't feel the need to do that at all. They just get on with it. And what's also quite funny is that from this one, it actually spanned a full release of one of them separately, like a couple of years later. So Dumplings, which is the first movie, was ultimately turned into a full-length theatrical release, which I highly recommend you go and check out. I think it's really, 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 really good. So what we have is, because we're doing Asian cinema, we have to cover not just Japan, which everyone defaults to. So we have some Korean cinema from Park Chan-wook. We have some Chinese horror cinema from Fruit Chan, and we have a little bit of Japanese cinema from Takashi Miike. So let's get into it. Right, on this review, what you are going to do, ladies and gents, is watch this movie. The movie came out in 2004, but didn't actually get a proper theatrical release as such, or any sort of international release, until about circa 2005. The movie has a lot of Asian cast, which I'm not going to go into, because you know, that's a That is a fool's errand for me. It's the sort of thing that you need the bass you for to rip into me about how pish I am at doing that. But yeah, so three movies. The three movies in the anthology are Dumplings. The first one directed by Fruit Chan. Then Cut directed by Park Chan-wook. And Box directed by Takashi Miike. Now, during the review, it'll be quite interesting to see where you land, because there are certain things I want from your review. I want an overall grade, a Netflix grade for this anthology. I want you to tell me overall where the anthology sits in your grading scheme. I also then want you to grade each individual segment and then tell me what's your favourite, why it's your favourite, and what's your least favourite and why it's your least favourite out of the three. So super simple, what I'm looking for is I'm looking for a review which involves an overall grade of three extremes using Netflix grading. I then want you to grade the individual segments, Dumplings, Cut and Box. And then at the end I want you to tell me why the one that got the highest grade got the highest grade and why the one that got the lowest grade got the lowest grade. Super, super simple. Let's give you an overview of a little plot synopsis for each of the segments. Dumplings is really... all these are super simple. It's kind of why I love them. Dumplings involves a kind of aging actress who had her heyday in the past and is very insecure about her aging, her attractiveness to other men, specifically to her husband, and the fact that she has learned that there is a mysterious woman that lives in a high rise, kind of the equivalent of what we would call a tenement block over in Scotland, kind of high rise block of flats in Hong Kong. She visits there to meet this woman called Aunt May, who makes these dumplings, which apparently are claimed to have the ability to make you look younger. Not all is as it seems, and you will see a lot more when you watch that one. The second one is Cut, directed by, like I say, arguably one of my favourite directors of all time, Park Chan-wook, the man behind the Vengeance trilogy. And most recently, The Handmaiden, which is getting a DVD and Blu-ray release in August in the UK. Can't wait to own that one, because I saw it in the cinema, end of last year, beginning of this year, and it blew me away. But he also did Stoker, which is a movie, it was his first foray into American cinema. It kind of bombed, but I think it's amazing. So Cut is a very lavish, extravagant game of cat and mouse between a very successful movie director and an extra who has felt shunned and scorned by him, and the game that he plays to seek vengeance. It is actually pretty incredible. I love it. It's so well shot and choreographed, and just Park Chan-wook, even back in 2004, just showing why he's going to go on to be one of the more influential Asian horror filmmakers of all time, I think, personally. The last one is Box, directed by Takashi Miike. It follows a novelist who has like flashbacks to a time where she worked in a circus. She gets an invitation to visit the old circus and finds a box containing some burned remains. I cannot give you any more information, because trust me, you want to watch this one. But once again, it's classic Takashi Miike. You think you know where you're going with it. It takes a wicked turn, and where you end up is nowhere near where you started. So yeah, right. So, ladies and gents, you now have information. You now have your movie. It's the three extremes. You're going to watch it. You're going to watch Dumplings, Cut and Box. What I suggest right now is we take a break, and this will prompt you to hit stop on the podcast. Please go away and watch the three extremes. Come back once you've watched it and hear my concluding part. I'm going to do a very short outro review of it, and then get hard to work with getting those reviews in. You have about 2 weeks to get your reviews in. In fact, it's less than that. It's about a week and a half to get your reviews in. They need to be in to me absolutely 100%, no later than Wednesday the 26th. Now, I'll post it all over social media so you guys know. And in that review, you will give an overall grading using Netflix grades to the three extremes. You will then give an individual grading to Dumplings, Cut, and Box. And then you will tell me in your review why the movie you gave the highest rating to got that review and that grade, and then vice versa for the lowest one as well. Right, ladies and gents, short break. Coming back to talk about this movie a little bit more right after this.
Do you desire to add yet another entry in the endless legion of film review podcasts to your playlist? Can you not stand the thought of having any moment of your dull, pointless waking life intruded upon with the sounds from the real world, and would prefer to listen to a small cast of assholes talk about movies? Then
they must be destroyed on sight!
Probably meets your bare minimum requirements. Join Lee Russell, Daniel Harper, Paul Romali, and the odd guest hosts as they talk about films from every genre, ranging from the obscure and schlocky to the well-known top-dollar classics. Look for
They Must Be Destroyed on Sight
on iTunes, Podbean, YouTube, and Facebook. That's
They Must Be Destroyed on Sight.
また1100回目の針は同じ位置同じ位置同じ位置見た目で決めつける奴らその重さも分からずたやすく軽く見下し何周回ってそこにたどり着いたかを想像することもできぬままずっと裏の裏は表だと信じ切っている普通や一般といたの異常な正常者そんなまともな人々の将棋を沙汰に痛めつけられた結果はこれである。
Sabana, Ivana, 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 Iv スギターすべての裏目を晴らして生きるのも辛いからまだ血を帯びたまま、この胸の殺された想いを振り聞かせたいんだ。
And welcome back. Now, hopefully you heeded my advice. Ladies and gents, if you're listening to this and you haven't watched the movie yet, then on your head be it. What I asked you to do was hit stop here and go and watch Three Extremes. So I'm going to work on the premise that you've watched this. So when I start talking a little bit more, we will go into spoiler territory. So I just want to make sure that you know that I know that you know that I know, if you understand what I mean. Which brings us to the first movie, which is Dumplings, directed by Farooq Chan. Now, like I said in the brief synopsis at the start, this one covers a kind of actress woman who at one point was the next big thing, the up and coming big star, but through time has found that that life has now kind of passed her by. She's aging like everyone does, but she is more concerned that her looks no longer give her the standing she once did. She may be losing the interest of her husband. And she decides to go and visit this woman, Aunt May, who kind of lives in this dishevelled building but makes these dumplings that people travel all around to get their hands on. She claims to be, even though she looks very young in the movie, she claims to be a lot older than she actually appears to be to people. And the reason behind that is because of her secret recipe within the dumplings, which eventually Mrs. Lee gets her into eating and finds out that she's starting to have these rejuvenations in her skin. She starts to look a bit younger. People are complimenting her. But as with all things in horror, everything is not necessarily as it seems, and it turns out that the secret ingredient that Aunt May is putting in her dumpling is that of aborted fetuses, which she manages to obtain at first through a contact in a hospital, but later on as kind of working in a secret abortion facility and aborting fetuses herself. It's it's kind of weird because at first the woman sees the after effects and seems to be, you know, fine with eating them. Anyway, she finds out what's actually in the ingredients, the feces themselves. She has a pang of conscience which kicks in, which quickly moves away, which is quite funny. But during the process, she, you know, she's eating these dumplings made of fetuses. One of them actually contains an aborted fetus, which is quite far on. It's about 5 months into the pregnancy, and this has a weird effect on Mrs. Lee. In fact, it seems to make her more sexually active, but also has this kind of after effect of making her skin kind of put out this fish-like smell, which people start to comment on. We find out that it's actually this five-month-old is birthed of incest as well, which makes it even more potent, according to Aunt May. The short kind of ends with Mrs. Lee pregnant 2 months on. She's found that she's now able to have children as a kind of after effect of this, eating this particular dumpling in particular. And she aborts the baby, which is quite interesting. You can only gather she's probably aborting it to make more dumplings, to make herself more young. That's potentially one ending. But we kind of see that the police are trying to track down Aunt May, unable to, but Aunt May continues her practices elsewhere. And that's where it finishes. Dumplings is super strong, considering I think this was Fruit Chan's first horror movie. I might be wrong in saying that, but I kind of feel confident this was his like first horror movie. And it feels like really well formed, a really nasty little tale. It doesn't shy away from a bit of blood and gore. You do get to see some aborted fetuses as well, so if you are prone to being a bit squeamish about that one, I should have given you a heads up before you watched it. It's beautifully shot, it's very well acted, it's the perfect way to kick this off. It's a super strong opening to the Three Extremes, and one that I would say arguably takes a bit of outdoing. But you then have two masters coming right after it, which leads us into Cut, which directed by Park Chan-wook. Now, we basically have this director who is making a movie and also having an affair. His wife doesn't know about the affair. His wife is a very famous pianist. And he just generally doesn't appear to be the nicest guy, but doesn't necessarily seem to be the worst guy ever. Whenever there's an actor working on his set as an extra and they want to take a job somewhere else, it kind of tells him not to. He tells him to stick with him, this other director's not as good as him, etc, etc. But in doing that, he's kind of stunting the growth of other actors, which leads us to this maniacal extra from many of his movies who kidnaps him and his wife to play the most deadliest of all games. The director wakes up tied to like a bungee cord, which restricts his movement in the room, which is the set of the actual movie, which the set itself resembles the actual living area of the director himself. His wife has her fingers glued to piano with all these different wires, like piano wires strung down from the ceiling, restricting her movement. She's gagged, and this extra, this kind of maniacal actor, wants to play a game, and very much in Jigsaw style, this game is not going to end up well. He basically says to the guy, listen, I want you to kind of admit the worst things you've done, or I'm going to start chopping off your wife's fingers, you know, the thing that she needs to do her job to play piano. I'm going to start chopping them off one at a time. Just one at a time. And he truly does. He starts chopping off the fingers, which makes the director ultimately try and buy time with some more tame stories, but he goes into detail about how he doesn't love his wife, how he hates his wife, how he has an affair, finds out that his wife is having an affair, although it's kind of intimated that he probably already knew that. The guy that's doing this to him has had a horrible life. He had an abusive father, never achieved what he wanted to achieve. It's very much a Park Chan-wook story, and it's actually written by Park Chan-wook, which says a lot. I mean, it's in the vein of things like Old Boy, with less incest. But there is a reveal, which we'll get to. So, basically, the extra tells a story of how he killed his wife but couldn't kill his son. And, you know, he tries various different ways to torture this director. The director ultimately, thinks that he can play smart here and, you know, outbluff this guy, and then the game gets a bit more sinister. The extra basically tells him is there is a little girl on this chair here. If you strangle this little girl to death, I'll let your wife go. And of course the director doesn't want to do it. The wife wants him to do it, but he can't build up the courage, and eventually he does do it, but there is a reveal that it's not a little girl at all. This little girl who's wearing a wig, it actually is the extra son who he couldn't kill earlier. We also see the extra get a bit more malevolent. He takes the fingers, because obviously fingers can be reattached even if they've been severed. He takes the fingers and puts them in a blender, blending them, which prompts, you know, more action from the director in terms of strangling the son. And as the extra decides he's going to chop off the wife's hand, he gets too close, slips on the blood, and she bites a chunk at his neck and leaves him to basically bleed out, which he does. And the director is so traumatized by that, he basically walks over and strangles his wife to death. Because he doesn't understand that, well, I think he thinks that the extra's son is actually his wife's child as well. So it's a weird reveal. But he strangles her to death, essentially, and that's where that one finishes. Once again, looks fucking stunning. Park Chan-wook, cinematography is always incredible. The story's maybe lesser Chan-wook, in terms of, if you've seen like his Vengeance trilogy, then you will know that he has a great way of building blocks of a story, and ultimately one of those blocks which your story has been built on is less reliable than the other, and when that's moved out the way and given the true reveal, the whole story comes crashing down in the best possible way. And it kind of feels like that. He's only got 40 minutes to play with, and that obviously leans into some of the minor gripes I have. There is a bit of weird humour in here, which I don't necessarily think works all that well. The extra replays his quote-unquote best scenes from the director's movie, which at times have a weird sort of tone to them, which I don't necessarily think fits with the overall aesthetic. There's a fart joke in here, which I don't think necessarily works all that well either. Out with that, though, it's bloody, it's violent, it's traumatic. It's all the stuff that you would want from a Park Chan-wook movie, as well as, like I said before, beautifully shot, fully realised. The score is incredible. It all uses like piano-based classical music, and it all just works really well as a whole. It's a great middle feature. The final one is Box, directed by Takashi Miike. This one is a Takashi Miike ghost story, which I kind of love. Love it when Miike gets a bit supernatural. And it follows this novelist who is struggling to continue her writing. She has these frequent nightmares of a time that when she was 10 years old, and she worked with her twin sister at this small circus tent out in the middle of nowhere. They did this fantastic magic act where they would dance together, and ultimately the two girls would go into different suitcases, and the performer, the magician, would throw these darts at the suitcases and they would open, revealing flowers. Because the two sisters are twins, they were very close to each other, but one sister seems to be favoured over the other. And she is praised highly. She gets to sleep in the same bed, and there's an indication that maybe, potentially, there's a bit of paedophilia going on in this story, although it's never really explicitly implied. It's definitely implicitly there. So she gets this, the girl that is favoured, her sister, gets this necklace. And through jealousy, one night while she's practicing, she decides to lock her sister in this box, so she can, I would assume, pass off as her, sleep in the bed with the magician, etc. But she's caught doing this, and during a kind of minor struggle, our main character Kyoko scratches the magician's face with a dart, cutting his face, and he trips over, knocks over this paraffin cooker, which sets the tent on fire, ultimately burning her sister to death, which is why she keeps having these weird flashbacks. What's weird about this is that in real time, in her real life, when she's not dreaming about this, the publisher who's looking for her book looks very similar to, I mean, scarily similar to that of the magician. these dreams continue to haunt Kyoko, and one day she gets an invitation to go back to the circus, which she tried to find before but wasn't there. She arrives and there she finds a burned box. She opens it and we assume that what she sees inside the box is the burned remains of her sister. And she turns around and she's actually confronted by the magician, who tells her that both of them were important to her, but only as one together, as one entity, as one being. The two of them together were the most important thing for him. And they kind of start making out. He gives her a necklace, but he also forces her to look at the box. And the box opens and this little burn girl's face appears in it. This eye stares out, very ring-like or grudge-like, Jew on the Grudge. It kind of has that feel to it. They continue to kind of make out, and he actually puts a plastic sack over her, suffocates her, puts her in a box, and then buries her alive. And when you think that is, you know, this gruesome ending to this gruesome movie, it's actually revealed that it's just a dream. It's all just been a dream, but we go one step further. It's a dream from the point of view of Kyoko, who's actually not just a twin. She's conjoined to Shoko. Shoko, her sister, who we thought was dead, is actually, she's not aged at all. She remains as a little girl, but Kyoko is obviously a full adult and they're conjoined twins. And the movie ends with them leaving the house to go and meet the magician stroke literature publisher, who are actually in fact the same person. It's how they perceive the world, their dreams, that are different, and that's what the story is about. I love this one. I think Miki's by far is the most beautiful of the three. I think the cinematography is incredible. It's a very dark, twisted little story. There are shades of Audition in there, definitely. But he kind of feels a bit more reserved. He doesn't go for the usual blood and guts, over the top gore of your kind of classic Takashi Miike movie. He kind of holds back on it and leans more into the supernatural element, which I think benefits the story. I think the reveal's a bit haphazard. I don't necessarily think it works fully in the context of the overall story, but it's difficult to argue that it's probably not the... If it's not the best directed out of the three, it's, you know, there's a ball here in it, as we like to say in Scotland. So there you go. That is the three extremes. Overall, I give this a 4.5 out of 5. I think it's an incredible anthology. I don't think there's a weak link in this at all. I love the fact that there isn't a Lincoln story, so they don't feel the need to do that. They just give you these three shorts and you watch them. I think if I was scoring them individually, I think Dumplings would definitely get a 4. I think Cut would get a 3.5. And funnily enough, I think Box gets a 4.5. The Takashi Miike is my favourite out of the lot. I think it's the one that, even though it's not as gruesome as Dumplings, it's not got the kind of wit of Cut. I think The Box is definitely the best just out-and-out horror story of the three, and captures the best things of Japanese horror, supernatural anyway, ghost horror, supernatural cinema. I think it fits the brief totally. So there you go. Overall scores for me, 4.5 for Three Extremes. Dumplings gets a 4, Cut gets a 3.5, and Box gets a 4.5. Right, so your job now, ladies and gents, is before the 26th Wednesday, the 26th of July, you need to go away and review this movie, Three Extremes. What I need from you is I need an overall review grading, right? Overall review grading for Three Extremes. I then need individual gradings for Dumplings, Cut and Box. I want you to tell me why your favourite one scored highest and why your least favourite scored lowest in the review. Now you can send it written to podcastunderthestairs@gmail.com. I will post on the Facebook page a thread where you can tag your reviews into if you want, and I will read them from there. You can send me an audio file of you reviewing it. I know there's a lot of podcasters like to take part in this. I can go to podcastunderthestairs@gmail.com or private message through Facebook to myself with that. Or you can record a video, live stream your review on the Facebook group page, and I will be able to pick off the audio from there. Just try and do it in the same thread as the written reviews as well. So there we go. The very first movie club for Challenge Teapots. There will be another one in a couple of months' time, but it's time to close out the show. So I'm going to take a last break, very short last break here. And when I come back, I'm closing out the show right after this.
You're listening to the podcast Under the Stairs.
And you'd be listening to this very special bonus episode of the podcast Under the Stairs, where we have announced Challenge Teapots July 2017 and a special subset within that, because we'll subset the subset till it's subsetted, which is the movie club, where I'll pick a movie every couple of months, I'll give you an introduction to it, I will give you my review at the end of it, and the space in between allows you to go and watch the movie, then listen to my review at the end, see if you agree. If you agree, that's brilliant. If you disagree, tell me why you disagree. But ultimately, reviews to get sent in as part of our Challenge Teapots July 2017 episode, which will be coming out on Thursday the 27th of July. So all entries, written, recorded or filmed, need to be in to myself or on the Facebook page by close of play on the 26th of July 2017. So next week we kick off entry number one, the first installment of our 11 show top 10 summer series of the top 10 horror movies of the 1970s. It's a decade, it's going to be incredible. Five fantastic guests. I've got Bo Ransdell joining me, Andy Blockley, Doug Tilley, Ricky Morgan and Court Psyops. Each will be taking 2 years apiece. 100 movie reviews, 10 episodes, one round table and a list of 10 movies ultimately, which will make the definitive Noah's Ark rules. I have to specify that one. Teapot's top 10 for the 1970s. Cannot wait. It's going to be a ton of fun. And like I said, the Baz will be back very soon as we will be looking at Baz V, the Masters of Horror, volume number one. Baz takes on Takashi Miike. He's going to be doing a little bit of audition. He's going to be doing a little bit of One Missed Call. It's going to be fucking fantastic. But there is a multitude of ways to check out the podcast Under the Stairs. If you're checking us out through Apple Podcasts, please take a couple of seconds and leave us a rating and a review. Now, ratings are important. Those are the little stars, and thus far the show has had nothing but 5 stars, and I can't thank you enough for it. The review bit only takes a couple of minutes though, and it actually steers people's attention. You might not think it, but if you write why you like the show and someone reads that, they're more likely to check out the show than just if it's rated really highly. So please, if you get a chance, even if you have rated us in the past, leave us a little review. It really does help. You can check us out on Stitcher Smart Radio, you can check us out on SoundCloud, on TuneIn and Google Play. We're all over the place. We're a proud member of Legion Podcast Network, surrounded by a multitude of fantastic shows. Please join our Facebook group page. It's facebook.com/groups/teapotscast, and our website is teapotscast.com. The Baz is charged and in charge of our twin prongs of social media sexiness on Instagram and on Twitter. Very, very easy to get your hands on both of them. It's at teapotscast. Join us, become part of our seedy little social media experiment over there on Twitter and on Instagram. So I will be back in 1 week's time. I'm looking forward to reading all these reviews of Three Extremes, but I have a whole month and a half's worth of shows. In fact, more than that, 2 months worth of shows to plan out for Teapot's summer run of top 10 shows. It's the 1970s, ladies and gentlemen, so get those afros styled. Get those flares and bell bottoms dug out. Dance to disco. And until I speak to you, wherever you are in this big bad world, whatever the time zone, whatever you're up to, this is Duncan McLeish broadcasting live from Under the Stairs, and I'm signing off.